tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's June 27th, 2024. I'm your host, Joe Boris, and this is the extra long episode. We start off today with big news out of Rivian. Rivian talks R2, cost-cutting, and more during their 2024 Investor Day. Here's the latest. This is an article by Peter Johnson, went live earlier this morning. Talks about a lot of things, projections from Rivian, different conversations about profitability, and it's definitely worth checking out if you haven't seen it yet. So he goes really in-depth in that article. One thing that I want to reiterate from that Rivian investor meeting is that they've reaffirmed their 57,000 unit production guidance and gross profit in Q4 of 2024. So what does that really mean? So that means, first of all, they're on track to build 57,000 vehicles this year. They let that be known early on in the Investor Day meeting, which is why we were able to run this. But it also means that the company is targeting profitability this year. Now, Rivian shut down its Normal, Illinois manufacturing plant that used to be the old Diamond Star Mitsubishi plant back in the 90s. They shut it down back in April for a host of upgrades. According to CEO RJ Scaringe, the changes have resulted in significant cost reductions. As a result, Rivian expects to achieve its first positive gross profit in the fourth quarter of 2024. So they identified within their slide deck a number of the gross profit drivers and some of the ways that they've been able to cut those down and are leading towards gross profit per unit. Now, this is really important. You see this a lot when you talk about electric vehicles and social media among people who may not fully understand how business and manufacturing works. They'll talk about companies losing $30,000 per EV or $50,000 per EV. Some of that is due to something called amortization. When you build a machine to manufacture widgets, whatever that widget is, right? It could be a doorstop. It doesn't matter. You're going to say, okay, this machine has to pay for itself in the first 1,000 units, okay? So if it's a $30,000 machine, then there's $30 attached to every one of those first 1,000 units to pay for that machine. And then the machine is said to have paid for itself after having produced 1,000 units, right? So that's kind of the concept that we look at when we talk about some of these EVs being $20,000 losses for the manufacturer. This is the way that the manufacturer writes down the expenses of developing the tooling to build out those machines. So what you can say from this is that Rivian has effectively gotten to the point where it can start putting profits on the books and becoming profitable in that sense. There has never been a scenario where a company has been able to stay in business, whether it's Ford, GM, Tesla, where it's actually spending $50,000 or $100,000 more per vehicle to build it than it costs to sell it, with the possible exception of Lucid. But if you've ever spent a lot of time near one of those, you can see from the paint, the fit and finish, the engineering, yeah, that one they're probably actually losing money on. Moving on now to Tesla. Tesla is now distinguishing cars by battery suppliers in order to enable more shoppers to pick vehicles that will qualify them for the maximum tax credits. There's a toggle button on the left side of the screen when you get to the Model Y ordering that allows you to select between Panasonic cells and LG cells. Now, Panasonic cells are eligible for the tax credits. The LG cells, of course, are not. As Fred here writes, this makes sense because the vehicle and buyer need to be eligible. That's right. Both the vehicle and the buyer need to be eligible. If you make, quote unquote, too much money, which is $150,000 in individual income, you're not eligible for the tax rebate anyway. So in your case, you might want to get the LG cells. You might want to leave that other product for someone who can take advantage of those tax credits. So again, this is a really great tool for them to have on there. It makes the purchaser a much more active participant in the process of getting these federal incentives, and helps people to avoid a situation where they might be expecting or perhaps depending on a tax credit in order to afford this vehicle from selecting the wrong vehicle and not being eligible. So that's always good stuff, and you love to see it. In other Tesla news, a giant 1.3 gigawatt hour Tesla Megapack project is going online in Arizona. Now, this is a BESS project, a battery energy storage system project that's going to enable up to 1.3 gigawatts of energy to be stored in capacity in reserve effectively for whenever the grid needs it. Now, this is something that's being done in collaboration between Tesla Plus Power LLC and the Phoenix, Arizona utility Salt River Project. So to read a little bit from the article, SRP and Power Plus today celebrated two new grid charge battery storage systems, Sierra Estrella Energy Storage and Superstition Energy Storage. Together, these facilities will add 340 megawatts of additional battery storage capacity to SRP's system, enough to power 76,000 residential homes for a four-hour period. The batteries will absorb excess energy when consumer demand is low and store it for use during times of peak demand. By being turned on, it automatically became the largest standalone battery system in Arizona and one of the biggest in the U.S. This is great news for people who live in Arizona where it gets excessively hot. You get these notifications from the utility that say, you know, turn down your AC, don't run anything crazy, don't plug in your car, all this kind of thing that we saw years ago in California when they had rolling brownouts. This is the kind of thing that not only prevents that, but makes it easier for the utility and easier for consumers to take advantage of off-peak demand hours and off-peak energy and the way that some of the different energy markets work on America's different utility grids, basically an east and a west, and then Texas is on its own doing some craziness. So this is really neat stuff, and I think you're going to start to see more and more of this, especially as more EVs and hybrid vehicles start to reach the end of their useful battery life. You're starting to see Nissan Leaf batteries, Land Rover batteries come back into the market as second life products like this battery energy storage system, where maximum capacity is not necessarily something that is a make or break. And it's just something that all these utilities, pretty much anywhere in the country, are starting to take very seriously. So we love seeing that. On the opposite end of the green energy spectrum, we have batteries and hydrogen. And Extreme E, the off-road electric rally series, has unveiled a new Extreme H. This is a hydrogen fuel cell rally car for next season, and it claims to have the same specs, despite the fact that it's 300 kilograms heavier than the battery electric version. Now, looking at this thing, this is a very aggressive-looking off-road type vehicle. It looks very fast, very sporty, has a massive multi-element rear wing that just looks phenomenal. But the specs that are in question are the ones right up here. Now, top speed, 200 kilometers an hour, doesn't take a ton of energy to get a vehicle like this up to that speed. Max power, 550 horsepower, 2,200 kilogram, relatively lightweight vehicle, but still significantly heavier than the battery electric version. Now, this 0 to 60, 0 to 100 kilometers an hour is approximately 62 miles an hour. This 0 to 60 time of 4.5 seconds is the same as the EV version. And in the comments section at Electric, we have been having a field day with this. We've got some people saying, well, this is clearly wrong. How can having more mass lead to the same acceleration? That's impossible. I've been playing the other side of that, kind of echoing back to my Mercedes tuning days, saying sometimes the heavier vehicles have better weight distribution, have better traction, better grip, and can therefore get better acceleration, especially off the line when you're looking like a 60-foot time. The CL600, CL55s always had better 60-foot times, especially on drag slicks, than the E55s, despite the fact that they were significantly heavier. So we've gone back and forth on this. We're not getting anywhere. Jamie's absolutely convinced that more mass equals slower 100% of the time. I'm convinced that traction is the limiting factor here, especially when you're talking about torque off the line, so that this more than makes up for that added weight, and that's enabling this vehicle to get to 0 to 60 at the same time. But we have no consensus. There's very little science in any of this. So please get in the comments section. Let us know what you think. Let us know what's actually going on here. And I think it's probably hard to say that this is going to be in any way greener than a battery electric option, but hey, it's a new race car. Race cars are fun. Now, at the beginning of the show, I did make the comment that this was the extra long episode, and that's largely due to Chargeway Plus. Chargeway Plus is an evolution of a popular EV charging app developed by Matt Teske, who is good enough to join us today as Quick Charge's first ever guest. I immediately got shy about it. Hang on, let me see the view here. All right, share screen. We're not sharing screen. Multiple participants. All right, I think that'll be fine. All right, and for the first time ever, we have a guest on Quick Charge. This is my good friend Matt Teske, the CEO and founder of Chargeway. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe. What's up? Thanks for having me.
Of course. Now, this is kind of an interesting take on this because Matt and I have done like 200 episodes of another podcast together. So this is kind of like long ago, right? So now we're getting the band back together for this. For people who aren't familiar with Chargeway, can you give us a sense of what it is and why it's better than all the other EV charging apps out there.
Yeah, Chargeway, it simplifies EV charging and how you can understand how to use it based on any EV you choose. So the Chargeway mobile app, it basically visualizes plug types using colors and power levels using simple numbers so that on the map, you can really quickly navigate what the options are for the EV that you're driving. So you can know if your plug color is at a location and what the power level is that awaits you. It really defines how you can understand what your wait time will be based on those parameters. And it's important for every driver. So we simplify that.
Yeah, so to clarify that a step further, you're going beyond level one, level two, and then just calling everything above like 30 kilowatts level three, right? Because there's a big difference between a 350 kilowatt supercharger and like the 50 kilowatt charger that's parked outside of your local Chevy store.
Exactly. Yeah. What we've identified is that, you know, people want to know what their wait time is when it comes to charging. And they also need to know if they can connect there and with, you know, if they need an adapter and how do they visualize all those things quickly. And when it comes to power, especially, the industry sort of got to DC fast charging with like 25 and maybe 50 kilowatt, you know, about 7, 8, 10 years ago, and just never understood how to translate the options as it moved forward based on, like you described, you can get up to 350, almost 400 kilowatts now at a station. But then you also need to know, like, what can your car do at those stations? So the number system we use is levels 1 through 7. It identifies what's the maximum power level your car can take right on the map so you can see it, and then identifies the maximum power level offered at a station using levels 1 through 7. And then anytime you tap on a pin, we estimate your charge time based on your battery settings. So if you say you've got 10% left and you want to go to 80%, you tap on any pin, it'll show you the power level and give you an estimated charge time. So it really distills down a lot of the engineering for charge curve, amps, volts, kilowatts, all of those things into just a simple visual system.
Yeah, and it's a great app. You know, I've used it myself for a long time. I always recommend it to people. And I think of the tens of thousands of people who use this app all the time, it's really simplified their ability to plan a road trip and just basically fit an EV into their lives. But this week, you've taken it a step further. You've launched Chargeway Plus. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Chargeway Plus is something we piloted with one of our utility partners, Austin Energy. And so we piloted for a couple months, got some really great feedback and data from that pilot there in their territory. And we just launched it to all of North America, US and Canada today. And so Chargeway Plus is available for both iOS and Android. And what Chargeway Plus offers is you can actually connect your EV directly to the Chargeway mobile app. So you can get real-time battery status and charging status and charging control for most EV models directly within Chargeway. So we now marry real-time status of your vehicle to real-time status of major networks like Electrify America, EVgo, Shell, Tesla, et cetera. So you don't have to do calculating and thinking, and you can choose any EV you want, and it works with Chargeway Plus.
That's really cool. And I think what's like really shocking about that is that like nobody else really has that, right? Like you can't, with the possible exception of Tesla, right? Because you can look on your phone and see the Tesla app. Like you can't do that with your Electrify America app or your EVgo app or any of this other stuff. Like you kind of have to have like 14 different apps just to navigate the charging process.
Yeah. I mean, what we've always been striving for is thinking about the driver first when it comes to how we design our interface and how people will use Chargeway. Instead of taking the charging station approach first and just putting, you know, dots on a map and saying, okay, here's all the charging out there you're going to have to figure out how to find. What we realized
was, here's all the plugs you might be able to share.
Exactly right. And so what we found was, okay, the early adopters wanted to dig through all that and figure that out. But people that are from the mass market, they just need to understand how it works for their particular use case. And that always will revolve around, what car did you select? From there, we can then identify what the landscape of your charging looks like. But then if there's things like adapters and other things that come into play down the line, you need to be able to quickly and visually identify those options on the map. So that's what our system allows for, is if you activate an adapter, you'll see that color difference right on the map, and it will have an associated power level based on what the adapter's capabilities are and those station's capabilities are. So it really is all about the driver first and saying, look, there's a lot of engineering to figure out here, but we've done all the math for you and we've simplified it down into a visual system that will allow you to navigate it more easily.
So there's two things I want to specify here. I was showing this to a buddy of mine who's got a Mustang Mach-E, and that adapter thing came up. And that's, you know, that question of the adapter came up. He doesn't have the adapter, but he was playing with it. And you could immediately see on the map, the pins open up at the Tesla superchargers.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. Does it go the other way? Like if you have a CCS connector, does it show you the Tesla magic docks that your car theoretically could connect to?
Yeah, our system automatically does all of that for you based on the car you've selected. So if you're driving a Mach-E, for example, and you don't have your Tesla Supercharger adapter turned on, you will still see superchargers on the map where Magic Dock is built in. It will be shown as a green station because it has the green connector, CCS, built into that station. So we want to make sure we're doing all of that thinking on behalf of people in advance. But and then if they decide to choose an adapter, once they hit the switch, we identify the color and numbers they will see on the map with that adapter. And the moment they go back to the map, they will then visualize and see those right on the map. And we do, again, a lot of thinking for people. We're only going to show you the superchargers that work with your adapter. There are certain superchargers that don't work with the adapter for Ford and Rivian, et cetera. And we do all that thinking for you. If you can see it on the map in Chargeway, you can use it.
That's awesome. And there's a lot of states now, and I've been looking into this, like some of these local companies that have a lot of large fleets like LabCorp, Wheels Inc., and things like that. They have really strict policies that prevent people from using their phones while they're on the road. And even though they're in EVs, right? A lot of these companies are using Nissan Leafs or they're using Chevy Bolts. You can connect this through CarPlay and use it from your dashboard, right?
That's correct. Yeah. So CarPlay is fully functional. We're working on Android Auto as well, but the emulation component is important. If you are in a fleet, for example, and you need to know what your vehicle can do, you can add that vehicle to Chargeway, connect it to CarPlay, and then you're good to go.
And as a fleet manager, if I've got 8 or 10 or 15 vehicles in my fleet, I can look at them through the Chargeway app and see the real-time battery setting and everything of all those different vehicles, correct?
Correct. Yeah, with Chargeway Plus, and if you have a fleet and you want to add those vehicles to the Chargeway mobile app, you can connect those vehicles via Chargeway Plus so you can have real-time status of your fleet vehicles now inside of the Chargeway mobile app for your fleet.
That's cool. And when you say Chargeway Plus, this is what you're rolling out today, actually, with Austin Energy. Can you tell us a little bit more about like why are you rolling this out with an energy company and not with like, a rental fleet or a commercial fleet?
Well, yeah, the reason why we decided to go the route, we've always worked with utilities because long ago with Chargeway, we identified that we want to make electricity as a fuel type more simple and easy to understand and use for people. Who makes electricity? Well, that's utilities. And so they play a direct role in the user experience and driver experience for electric car owners, whether you're a homeowner or you have to go find public charging. So as we've grown the platform and the software, and as we've learned more in working with utilities and partners like Austin Energy, is we've realized how can we do a better job of engaging their efforts directly with their customers via the Chargeway platform. And so by piloting Chargeway Plus with Austin Energy, it really gave us an opportunity to show both drivers and the utility the value of connecting those experiences. And so really the goal now is to show whether, again, we can open up Chargeway Plus like we have throughout North America today to US and Canadian drivers. You can individually engage with Chargeway Plus, subscribe to it, and get these features. But the beauty of it is if we work directly with utility partners, it's a really cool way for us to engage an audience that is really built in for them, but we have a tool by which they can directly communicate and connect with those customers based on their lifestyle. So someone who wants to manage their home charging, Chargeway Plus can offer some great visibility into how that works for them. If someone is going and finding public charging, we can also offer real-time connectivity around how that will look for them. So it's really about the user experience first and how we connect our utility partners directly to those relationships.
And by connecting the utility partner to the relationship, I'm sure this is something that you've already figured out and that the smart listeners have figured out. But for me, this is my process. It takes longer.
Yeah.
For the utility company, there's incredible value there because not only are you connected to your car and you have visibility into how your car is charging, but the utilities can see that as well. They can't see you. They can't know that Matt's car is doing this, but they can see that AEV in their network is charging in this way, and they can use that sort of anonymized data to help inform how they're going to build out infrastructure going forward.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing about it is utilities need visibility into what EV owners are doing with their cars. That's kind of the holy grail right now when we talk about things like managed charging programs, demand response programs. Also, how do we get users who want to charge during, a time of use program at certain times of day? These are all things that we can provide a value proposition to EV drivers through a platform like Chargeway that gives them the tools and the information they want at their fingertips based on what they want to know about their EV, where they live, the lifestyle of charging they have. But then in turn, to your point, that information is extremely important to the utility partners we have, so they can make for a more resilient grid so that it does work on behalf of those drivers, and also for grid capacity planning for where do they need to make changes and improve upon the grid down the line. And so the information that goes back and forth through this relationship and process through our software, it creates a better user experience for drivers, but also creates a far better piece of research and planning and process and deployment for grid infrastructure that is invaluable moving forward as we electrify.
That's really cool. I like that. I'm trying to come up with a good question from that.
Well, again, it's been a process. I mean, I think that what we've found in the last, 5 years of having our mobile app in market and our enterprise software market, what we've discovered is we are on the right track. We had a hypothesis we've been proving out over time. I think now we're to a place where we've moved beyond those early adopters and innovators that wanted to learn a lot of this. And we have to think on behalf of the public and consumers and how they drive their cars in the way that meets their needs without having them feel like they're having to learn something new that scares them. And ChargeWay is designed to alleviate a lot of that stress, the anxiety we hear about often, but in turn also provide really good information to the industries for how they can also create better programs and better solutions on behalf of their customers.
Well, the other thing I really liked about this is playing with this in different energy markets and playing with this in different locations. Like when I was in Phoenix a year ago and I had the ChargeWay app open, I was able to see some of the incentives that the local utility had when I was in their coverage area. And it was like, an additional incentive for to buy a home charger, and I could fill out a form for a rebate application through there. So this really goes beyond finding a charger or planning a road trip. You're making it easier for them to get the information that they need to successfully transition to EVs.
That's exactly it. One of the things that's important around what electrification means is it's personal to you. So one of the things that we've been working on, especially through ChargeWay Plus, is ChargeWay Plus users, we can really get the right information in front of them, as opposed to just advertising for advertising's sake and saying, hey, here's some EV information and maybe it works for you, maybe it doesn't. With just some really basic information from the ChargeWay users we have, we can ensure that the information they see about programs from a local utility partner, for example, are beneficial to their lifestyle. If someone, tells us, hey, look, I public charge, that's what I do, we're not going to put in front of them a home charging rebate that means nothing to them. Instead, it helps inform our utility partners as to where they can be most effective in providing quality services and programs to their customers. And it all comes down to lifestyle. And the fun part is, that is revolving around the car you select and how you live and where you will charge. And ChargeWay captures all that in a way that's easy for our users and those who need to find the charging and use it. But in turn, it then allows us to go to our utility partners and say, let's create a more effective relationship with the customers you have, and they can see the value in your programs and your brand as well.
Well, and I think that's huge, especially in cities like Austin or like where I'm in Chicago. The majority of people live in multifamily dwellings, multi-unit dwellings, and may not have access to their garage to charge, but they still want to electrify. So they're choosing whether it's a level two or, to use ChargeWay speak, a level four or five charger that is at their gym or at their grocery store or at their big box experience where they can plug it in and charge it there or else charge it a level two at work. Are you finding that kind of information, because it's typically behind this network wall that the networks are very reluctant to give away, is something that the utilities are really benefiting from seeing?
Well, I think so. I mean, at the end of the day, we are still at the beginning of how we're rolling out a lot of the infrastructure and even how the business models work for some of the networks that are out there. The networks cross over to utility service territories all the time. And the utilities, they don't really have a lot of effective visibility into what's happening in their service area, oftentimes as it relates to either public infrastructure or what's happening with EV ownership and how those drivers are using their cars. The beauty of it is ChargeWay's data captures all of that, is we showcase what's happening on both the vehicle side and the infrastructure side in a way that creates, again, an informed process for utilities that are looking to be more effectively engaged on, again, planning and programs. But at the end of the day, we have to serve the public. We have to give drivers some visibility into their ownership experience that alleviates a lot of the constant anxiety we hear about from making a change. But for those drivers that maybe got excited about an EV and chose it because that's how they've always shopped for cars, it gives us the opportunity to ensure that they might stumble along the way and find, there's things they learn into ownership. Well, the beauty of it is ChargeWay does all that thinking in advance for everyone. So I think the faster we can roll out our solution with our partners, like utility partners, for example, to drivers in their service area, it's a win-win for everybody. And that's always been our mission.
Yeah, well, it very much has been. And, you know, I've known Matt for a number of years now, and Matt is very motivated by climate change and is very concerned about the changes that we can make and how they can improve the air quality, not only for the broader climate, but just in inside a community, right? Like, we don't want the kids breathing in diesel emissions if they don't have to or anything like that. You know, what I like about your solution is you're able to generate this data, you're able to drive that change, but you're doing it in a way that's not scary. And in a way that, like, you know, and you and I have talked about this offline before, it passes the father-in-law test. Like, can I show this to my father-in-law, who is like this, like, very stately, very dignified, very set in his ways kind of dude? Can I show this to him and make him understand? And I can tell you now that I can do that, because he just got a RAV4 Prime because he felt comfortable that he'd know where to plug it in and how to use it. He hasn't gone all the way into EVs. You know, he's still doing that lily pad thing.
The lily pad car,
The lily pad car, but he's plugging in at home. He's plugging in when he goes to Whole Foods, and he's doing the thing. And I think that's in large part because of Chargeway. And I don't know that there's a lot of people who've gone down that road and used Chargeway as a car shopping tool. But that's something that Austin Energy is also doing, because it's in their EV buyer's guide.
It's in the EV buyer's guide they have that's online. We have our Chargeway Beacon, which is our kiosk platform that's in a handful of dealerships in the Austin area as well. It's really about thinking about how people shop for cars, how they've traditionally shopped for cars, and then asking, where can we infuse electric fuel visibility into that process so that people understand what they're getting into from the outset, but we don't scare them. We show them. It's about, it's a show and tell, not I'm going to teach you kind of experience. So if they can discover that they understand, I really fell in love with this particular car, and they discover that that car goes to green stations and that car is level 7 capable, and there are levels 1 through 7 of public chargers out there, that allows them to then visualize what their landscape of charging would look like. And then if that exists online or in a retail experience or in their pocket in ownership, it gives them a consistent participant in that buying journey that makes them say, wow, this was really thoughtful. This wasn't, hey, you get to figure it out. It was really designed with intent. And that's what Chargeway was always designed around, was how do we connect the dots in a way that serves, again, both drivers, but also industry that has to solve these problems.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's funny that, like, you know, historically for the last 100 years, auto companies have left this idea of you're going to find your own fuel to the consumer. And I think that's because companies like Chevron and Texaco and BP and Shell have done such a great job marketing their product.
Yep.
And I think it's interesting that, you know, now the utilities, after 100 years of just, well, you have to have electricity, you have to get gas from us, now they're in a position of they have to market their product again, which is something they haven't done since the days of Thomas Edison. And I think it's kind of a challenge because they don't really know how to do that, right? So this is a really great tool to help connect that final dot and say, oh, this is how we can present that our product is there, that our product can be depended on, that, you know, consumers that are electrifying can depend on us to give them fuel when they need it to get to where they need to go. I think you're doing a great job with it.
Well, I appreciate that. And you hit the nail on the head, is we have not had from, you know, the energy sector. On one hand, you've got fossil fuels. On the other hand, you've got arguably, you know, again, clean energy options as it comes to electrification. And utilities play a role in that, and they produce electricity for both clean and dirty options, but the grid is getting a lot cleaner. And that's a process that's been happening, again, really is accelerated in the last decade. But within that, they serve a customer. Again, these are residents, maybe commercial customers that they have, that oftentimes, maybe even out, for example, outside of Texas, it really is kind of, there's one game in town. You have to, again, get your energy from your utility. So the messaging that they've had to do, to your point, you rewind back to, like, you know, the Thomas Edison days of, like, hey, switch out your oil and your oil lamp for this, you know, light bulb, for example. That's really when they had to make that, you know, argument. But from that moment forward, it's like, hey, electricity is a given and we provide it to you. But in the realm of fuel for a car, as you described, cars and gas have been symbiotic for 100 years. We've removed gasoline from the ownership experience by electrifying. And who are the companies that are, again, having that communication battle with fossil fuels? It is utilities. And so there are ways that they can improve upon that. You know, there's regulatory elements in there that I think kind of are hindering them from being maybe as effective as they could be. But that's where companies like Chargeway come in, is we have a software solution and a communication platform that does all of that heavy lifting for them. And they can just attach their brand and their programs right into what we do with our platform. And it smooths the runway for a lot of efforts they're trying to make for electrification.
Do you think this is a good time in the interview to reference the fact that our last podcast was 250 episodes talking about Jeff Goldblum?
Yes, of course. Of course. I just saw a video of him last night where he was his reaction to the Hot Ones spicy hot wings, and he just said he's like, "Oh yeah, that was bad."
Oh, I didn't know he was on there. I gotta watch that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Now.
It was a good one. Yeah.
That's a fantastic. Matt, this has been just absolutely fantastic. Like, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people on a number of different shows, and some of them I just know that, like, it's an hour recording and I'm going to have to edit it down to about 20 tight minutes. Yeah. And I think this was really good for everybody who was listening along, who wants to try out Chargeway, download it in iOS, Android, start playing with it. You can put a bunch of cars in there that you don't own, compare the experience, put in some sample road trips. One thing that we didn't touch on that is my favorite is you can actually, when you're planning a road trip, you can change the air temperature. You can change the speed that you're going to drive so that you don't have to worry about, well, am I going to make it 200 miles if I'm going 90 instead of if I'm going 70 or 60? And this does all of that lifting and all of that math for you. It figures out, hey, it's 10 degrees versus 80 degrees. So this is how your range is going to change. You just, I can't say enough good things about this, except for the fact that whenever I go on road trips, I just hit the road and hope for the best.
Well, yeah, I appreciate hitting on the trip planner pieces. The trip planner is extremely thoughtful and it's meant to be easy, but it does all that math for you in the background. So you have, again, a transparent experience, whether it's a winter or summer drive. But again, also for Chargeway Plus, again, launching today, again, throughout North America, US and Canada. Again, if you want to try it out for 30 days, it's free for the first 30 days. So you can sign up for Chargeway Plus and really get a chance to see how we're doing all that thinking for you and really just giving you the experience we think you would want out of an EV.
That's all great stuff, Matt. That's all we've got for today, June 27th, 2024. If you like what you heard, be sure to let us know in the comments. If you don't, let us know that too. Be sure to like and subscribe either way. See you tomorrow.